This is the theme of our review share parshas, Tetzaveh and Zakor, Tovshin Samach Tet. The parsha is a description of the nature of a human being, of Aaron HaKohen. It focuses on those elements that indeed make Aaron part of the actual construction of the Mishkan, which becomes now the simon of the Keter Kuna, to which he zoch at the very end of the parsha. And in doing so, it brings out the relationship with the uniqueness of the individual, which was part of the interaction that created the kahuna initially, and which stands keneged kina, which stands for simcha, just as it did in Maaseh Bereishis of Yismach Hashem b'Maasav, which stands for the value of each moment and each unique individual, and therefore becomes the concept of zechira, which can be carried on such a lev, and stands in every way for the essence of a mishkan that battles the wildness of a world of chaos, that helps in providing space for an ish hanodeid mimekomo, and that stands therefore in every way for the simcha that can reconstruct the Beis HaMikdash as it did in Purim, that constructed initially the Mishkan, and that became the opposite of the misery that is created by Amalek, the karirus that is created by Amalek, the randomness and the non-uniqueness of all things, the generic concept of Mikra that is created by Amalek, and therefore is a suitable partner for Parsha Zohar to carry within it the seeds of the destruction of Amalek and the binyan of the Bayit HaShlishi as well. This is the review of Parshat Tetzaveh, which was Shabbat Zohar, Tovshin Samach Tet. This Parsha of Tetzaveh is not what it appears to be. That's clear. It appears to be a parsha, which is the conclusion, essentially, of the sugya that was raised in the previous parsha, where we were given over the mitzvahs of what things to bring for the construction of the Mishkan and how it is to go about constructing it. And this parsha, again, on the surface, appears to be the parsha that deals with the workers in the Mishkan, as the Rambam actually uses this as the title. The Klei Beit HaMikdash v'Ha'ovdim Bo. That's the title of a set of halachas. So this would be the conclusion, and two parshas add up very simply. Problem is, of course, that cannot be the way to view the parashot because of the horrific editing at the end of the parashot, where you have this marvelous climactic vision of a functioning Mishkan. And the functioning Mishkan is presented as after being memale yedehem, those who needed to be Ovid, which fits perfectly. We need to have the miluim. That's why we're using the word miluim. We're filling up, we're investing. And therefore, we now have the closing in Perek Chaf Tet, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that now that we finished the Miluim, V'no'adeti Sharma Levnei Yisrael V'nigdash Bechvodi. Indeed, as I said initially at the beginning of Truma, so it said, build me a Mishkan, V'shachanti Betucham, and I will come there and speak to you. Here we have a description of exactly those things which it said in initially. V'asuli migdash v'shechanti betochan. That's exactly what happens. V'shechanti betoch b'nei Yisrael here in Pasuk Memhei. V'ayiti la'el Elohim v'yadu k'ani Hashem Elokehem sh'hotzeti otam eretz Mitzrayim l'shochni betocham ani Hashem Elokehem. Beautiful, beautiful ending, in which we see clearly that this is meant to be a reconstruction of Maamad Har Sinai. Here is He who took us out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Closes the Anochi Hashem Elokecha once again. V'yadu, Yani Hashem Elokeim, Sh'otzeiti Otam Eretz Mitzrayim. But this time it's for having a Shokli B'tocha. Fantastic ending. Now, if the parsha had ended with that, we'd be very happy. Problem is, the parsha doesn't end with that, and madly goes on with an afterthought. The afterthought being, oops, we forgot to mention in the previous parasha, where we're discussing the construction of the Mishkan, but we forgot to mention, I forgot to tell you, Vasita Mizbeach Mikitak Torah. So I had the most unbelievable, awful job of editing imaginable. And this last piece is furthermore completely out of whack because it talks about things that haven't happened. It says that on this Mizbeach HaKtoret, Bechiper Aaron HaKarnotav Achat B'Shana Midam Chatat HaKippurim. Sorry, it referenced Yom Kippur for a Maisa Egel. That hasn't even happened. It's next week's parasha we learn about the Maisa. We don't even know what this is supposed to be talking about at this point. Which clearly tells us that our simplistic view of Tetzaveh is insufficient. The truth is that Tetzaveh is a strange parasha in that it focuses around an individual. It is not about, as it appears to be, the Malachat HaMishkan as to those who work in the Mishkan, but rather it is a parasha about Aharon as an individual. And in the same way that initially it was the relationship of Moshe and Aaron that created the kahuna, and that was at the moment at which Moshe refused to go and to become the shliach, to be Motzi Yisroel in Mitzrayim. So for 7 days he was arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at the very end he says, Shlach na b'yatishlach. That Shlach na b'yatishlach, as Rashi tells us, is a reference to his brother Aaron. Because he said, what is a chayach for me to do something where you have a Navi that's well known, my brother's older than me, and so on, it's inappropriate. There's no way that this is not going to affect him. It's a slap in the face. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him, Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and as Rashi tells us there, there's an impact that is made by anger. And what was the impact? Aaron Achicha HaLevi, Ani Amarti, Sh'ata Kohen V'hu Levi. Achshav, Hu Kohen, V'ata Levi. So this parsha that says, take Aaron Achicha, is a reference to that, to that moment. It's the relationship of Aaron being Achicha that makes this parsha happen. Now that is clear because it cannot be a parsha that actually discusses the nature of the kuna qua kuna. It's got to be talking about Aaron qua Aaron. Why? Because firstly, kuna is only possible after the avoda was taken away from the Bukhoros and given to Shevet Levi. Again, that hasn't happened yet. The Egel didn't take place. Shevet Levi has not been the ones of the Mila Hashem Elai to be Mekane L'Shem Hashem, for which we require a whole massive count and a census and a replacement of the Bechoros with the Levim, and we need to exchange them, and then we need to waive the Levim, and all of this takes place in Bar Midbar. We'll talk about it now. And this is as the Rambam brings V'Halacha, the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, that the Vayikadesh, the Levi, to be Kodesh LaHashem, and then comes out of them the Kohanim Kodesh Kodashim, out of the Levim. If you don't have Kodesh, you can't have Kodesh Kodashim, we don't have any Levim. We cannot have any Kohanim. What's more, the issues that are defined over here as being issues of Kahuna, which if you take it that way, the Daber al Aaron Achicha and so on, are all unique to Aaron. Because even though it says over here, immediately at the beginning of the parasha, that Aaron should go ahead and light the menorah, that's how it begins. The Rambam paskins that it's perfectly kosher if a Zayin lights the menorah. Which is astonishing. How could that be? And why does it mention Aaron? It's the Ramban is bothered Aaron. Aaron, whenever it says the word Aaron, it means the Kohen Gadol. So why would we mention specifically Aaron? You want to say it's a did in the Adloka of Kohanim. But it's the Akreve Lechat Aaron Achicha. That's the point over here. So the Ramban suggests that maybe the point of it, Legabe the Menorah, is that Aaron, during his lifetime, was very makpid to be Mekayim the Smitzvah himself. He was Mizdaris in it and so on. But that's only half of the picture. Clearly only half the picture. Because the truth is that the nature of Aaron of the mitzvah, the end of the parasha, is also unique. Because the only way we could justify putting in the din mizbecha ketores at the end of the parsha is on the simplest level by noting that the mizbecha ketores is Aaron, because the mizbecha ketores is the siman in the Beit HaMikdash for the zer is the keter ha-kuna, and therefore it's an expression of Aaron himself. But more profoundly, the din is, as many Rishonim, actually Medrash points out, that Aaron's halacha, his relationship to the ketores, is unique in another way. That even though it says over here, v'chiper Aaron ha-karnotav achat peshana, the din is that Aaron, just as it says in Achrimot, daber al Aaron achicha, v'ayikanez, not becholeit al HaKodesh, Moshe is very upset. Says the Medrash, Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what? You mean, I'm locking out my brother Aaron? No, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the way you think. That maybe once in a Yovel will come in, once in a Shavuah will come in, once in a year will come in. Bechol eight, any time that he wants to come in, he can come in. He has a right, no one else in history has that right. He uniquely, as an individual, has a right to come in whenever he wants, as long as he brings in these korbanot. Exactly the same dinim that we're applying ostensibly as a reference to the Kohen Gadol. So it's Aaron here, it's Aaron, it's always Aaron of Vanav. The guy who takes his place is a Kohen Gadol. But no, it's a din dafke in Aaron, which is the only way to understand the Menorah issue. It's a din dafke in Aaron. Because since the Torah is not addressing the kahuna qua kahuna, and it's saying over here, Aaron should light, it doesn't mean that the Kohen has to light. And that's the answer to the Ritva's question on the Rambam. How can he say a Zar can light? Why not? This halacha is unique to Aaron. It's not a din in Kohenim. So as long as Aaron is alive, it's a mitzvah in Aaron. Says now the Meshech Chochma, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why it is that when Aaron is alive, he has a right to be nichnas b'cholet that no other Kohen does. It's very simple. Since it says, v'ayikadez b'cholet zel HaKodesh, ki be'anan era'el l'kapara, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you see, it's necessary for there to be a special occasion where we can have an anan al HaKtoret, and that's only in Yom HaKippurim, on the Kaporet. That wasn't true during Aaron's lifetime. Because during Aaron's lifetime, they were still the mitzvah. For those Arbaim Shana, there was always an Anan. Because the Shekhinah was Shirein and Anan. And therefore, Aaron had a right to come in all the time. What, for some reason, the Meshech Chochma doesn't say, which is pretty shocking, is that, but that's the whole point. The Anan that was there was an Anan because of Aaron. He was the one that was the author of the Anan, was B'zchus Aaron. So obviously he can come in at all times, because he indeed is the Anan. Which means that Parshas Tetzava and the insertion over here of the Mizbech HaKetoret is meant to be part of the actual construction of the Mishkan. So therefore, during the Dairis that follow Aaron, you're right, there's two different Parshas. There's the parsha of the construction, the dinim of the keilim, and there's the parsha of the mishamshim in the Beis HaMikdash. Lamaisa, the Kohen could be Kodesh even without the Shemana Mishcha. He could be a Merubeh Begadim. He's also able to be a Mishamish with these Begadim. Exactly as it says here. Make these Begadim create the Mishamish. But when it comes to Aaron, and when it comes to the construction of the Mishkan, we need to use the Shemana Mishcha. Without the Shemana Mishcha, we're dead. We don't have that Kedusha, which means that it's part of the construction of the Mishkan that we have the Shemana Mishcha, which means that Aaron is not someone who works in the Mishkan. Aaron is someone who creates the Mishkan. He's part of the building of the Mishkan. Either there is Aaron, Akrevet Aaron, Akicha, as Aaron, not as a Kohen, as the man who created the Anan, which now empowers the Mishkan, enlivens the Mishkan, is the Shochni B'tochem of the Mishkan. That is the very last piece of the Mishkan. So that the Mizbech HaKetoret, after now we have the Milui Yadayim of Aaron, becomes now meaningful as the final unit of construction of a Mishkan, all of which is empowered with the Nodati and Veshachni because of the fact that you were Hakrivas Aron Achicha. Remarkable parsha in which we celebrate the individual Aaron, and it's because of that interaction between Moshe and Aaron that created the Kohuna, that this becomes the place, the only parsha, as is well known, the Baal HaTorim points out also in Moazim, this is the only parsha which Moshe's name is not mentioned. So this becomes now the act of Moshe's Mesiras Nefesh, of the Machenina Misifracha, but in a deeper sense, it's his acquiescing to Aaron's identity. So that the Vayichar Af on Moshe indeed includes a Mechias Shem of Moshe and a creation of Aaron. The clarity that this is exactly the event that the Parsha is referring to when it says Akrevet Aaron Achicha is in the construction of the Parsha. Because if you take a look at the Begodim in the Parsha, if you take a look at the Begodim here, what you have is essentially Begodim, that's all really one Beged. We're making over here the big Dekodesh, Aron Achicha, Lechavad Tiferes. What are these things? It's amazing. They're all basically an ephod. Because even though we have different parts, this ephod consists of the ephod. It consists of the tefot ephod. It consists now of the choshen ha-ephod. It consists of the me'il ha-ephod. The things which are uniquely Aaron are all ephods. They are in yonim of chashivut. And this is a unique beged. And the uniqueness of this beged, now despite the fact you say, but there's the other beged, which is the tzitz, but the tzitz appears in a completely different place in the parsha. It appears among the begadim, which would be shaykh to big the hedyot, as we've discussed many times, including lechasot besar erva. The other begadim are underwear. And for some reason, we view the tzitz as being that, as we've explained at other times, that's a kli of sheirut. But the ephod is a kli of sarut. It is a noble, as Rashi even defines the shape of it. He says, my heart tells me. What do you mean my heart tells me? I think it's like the nobility, where the women, they go riding on the horses, wearing, what do you mean his heart tells him? Since when do we have an access to Ruach HaKodesh and telling me the pshat and the chumash? But the point over here is that since the entire thing is meant to be expressive of the sense of the nobility of the human who wears them, we therefore need to focus on how it is that nobility actually utilizes these things. And therefore, I can tell you that I am moved and impressed by that type of beged. It makes sense that that's the ephod that is the equivalent of the sense of B'nei David Kohanim, they were Yotzi Beifa, obviously it doesn't mean they were truly Kohanim, means a sense of sarut. What is the central point of that ephod? The fact that it carries in two places, in the kitvot ephod and in the choshen mishpat, it carries stones with the names of the Bnei Yisrael on the stones. And in both cases, the Torah defines those stones as being lezikaron. So we have over here the kitvot ephod, the pasuk chav chet yud beit. V'sabtat shtei avanim ha-kitvot ha-ifod avnei zikaron livnei Yisrael. V'nasa aharon et shmotam livnei Hashem al shtei kitefav lezikaron. And then we have the choshen ha-mishpat, and we have now v'natata at the end of that story, chavtet, chavchet pasuk chavtet, v'nasa aharon et shmot bnei Yisrael b'choshen ha-mishpat al libo. That's not the ketefot. That's the alibo is the choshen. Bivoel hakodesh lezikaron lefnei Hashem tamid. So those shemot are carried lezikaron. V'natata lachoshen ha-mishpat ha-tehunim v'tomim. V'ayu alei v'aron bivoel lefnei Hashem. V'nasa aron et mishpat bnei Yisrael alibo lefnei Hashem tamid. Which means, as Chazal tell us, that the ikar nekuda here of the work, vision and selfhood of the Kohen Gadol is that he's capable of carrying Zikaron of Bnei Yisrael. This, the Gemara makes a big deal of, whatever Gezikaron, always has a din of Lifnai v'Lifni. This is B'dogea, Halakas, Osr, because it's Lifnai v'Lifni. Zikaron itself is given to Zikaron Asya, it has a din of Lifnai v'Lifni, says the Gemara. Now, if that's the case, then it's clear where this is coming from, because the Medrash tells us Beferish. The reason that Aaron was Zocha to these Avonim is because of that story with Moshe. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Moshe and says, you think that Aaron can be jealous and that he'll be hurt and it's a slap in his face? So I'm telling you, HaKrevet Aaron Achicha. Because Lamaisa, he is, Hinei, he's Balikratecha, V'racha V'samach B'libo. He is going to be happy in seeing you and your achievements, not jealous about you and your achievements. And that's why he's going to be a Kohen. And that kahuna is expressed in this idea. Lev that is sameach in the gedula of another person, that lev can carry the zikaron on his heart. A lev that is shayach to kin'ah cannot carry the zikaron of another person on his heart. So that means that this is an achievement of Aaron, and it's specifically an achievement of Aaron legabe his brother Moshe. And therefore, it's Hakrevet Aaron Achicha. The entire parsha is a description of the uniqueness of Aaron, Aaron's midot, Aaron's interaction with Moshe, and Aaron's presence as being the carrier of both the Zikorim Lifnai V'Lifnim Lifnei Hashem Tamid and the Hashraz Hashchida in the Anan Tamid during his lifetime, and the actual communication which comes through the Urim V'Tumim, which is also given uniquely to the Kohen Gadol, the Mishpat Hashem Tamid, remarkable achievement of an individual. This is also referred to in the Medrash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts speaking to Moshe. Moshe says, could it be that it's my shevet that will be rewarded with the ability to work? No, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by your life, it ain't your shevet, it's your brother. A marvelous medrash, which points out the uniqueness and the specificity of Aaron itself. And this, Lamaisa, these two issues, I mean, you'll say, okay, I mean, the two things are really the opening, which is the lighting of the menorah, and the closing, which is the ketoret. And it did, says the Rabbeinu Bachya. What's the Rabbeinu Bachya's pasuk for this week's parsha? His pasuk from Mishlei, Shemen uktoret yismach lev. Fantastic. So if you have the Shemen, that's the Shemen HaMenorah, the Ktoret, which is the closing of the parsha, that is yismach lev, which is the getter of v'samach b'libo. All of this, of course, beremez, is the v'samach b'libo of Aaron. And he continues on to say, umetek re'ehu me'atzat nafesh. Being nice and sweet to a friend. There you go. It's exactly what Aaron HaKohen is all about. Oh, Avshalom, right, Avshalom, the car. That is entirely a remiss to one person. The man who was uniquely related to the Shemen of the Ma'or, the Keteres, the Simcha that he carried on his lave, and the Metek L'Re'eyu, the happiness in the other individual, and making him feel special, like a very important human being, which is what changed other people's lives who came in touch with him. Now you'll notice, of course, that these inyanim are exactly the inyanim of Adar and Parshas Zohar. Because the simcha that we talk about over here, the yismach lev, the leif shesamach b're'eyu. It's exactly what Chodesh Adar is all about, right? Mishnech les Adar marbim b'simcha. The first thing that we talk about is, amazingly, the simcha v'adar that comes from the loss of Moshe, which is Haman's version. And yet the fact is we do begin with Zion b'adar, and, as the Mephoshim point out, it's weird that the Parsha that has the loss of Moshe's name occurs in the Shabbos of Zion Badar, before or afterwards. So the two are related. The death of Moshe, indeed, which is fundamental to the relationship to Purim, as we see from the Gemara Megillah, relates dafka to this parsha. The inyanim of the begadim of this parsha are the begadim that we find that Achashverosh went ahead and wore, because we're dashing the same words. Here it says l'chavod l'tifaret. There it says he wants to show everybody yikar tifaret malchuto. So that must mean he was motzei these begadim. And of course the nature of the binyan hamigdash that comes from the whole story of Esther and Chodesh Adar is in fact the Mishenichles Adar Marbim B'Simcha, which is the tikkun of Mishenichles Av Mimatim B'Simcha. And therefore, what it is that we're involved in is the actual construction of a Mishkan that clearly is meant to be created through Simcha, exactly the way that the Mishkan is created here through Simcha. Because Ein Hashchina Shorah L'Mitoch Simcha, this Simchas Halev is indeed what it is that Aaron is capable of achieving. Therefore, he's the one that's capable of bringing the Ashras Hashchina, because there is no other way for the Shchina to be Shorah. And so the involvement of the Parsha in Adar and its Simcha is unique and tremendously fundamental, particularly since there's no other place that the Torah goes out to define Simcha. It tells us to do things that can lead to Simcha. V'samachta b'chagecha, fine. But when it's talking about the concept of Simcha, and the Ashras Hashchina that's possible only mitoch Simcha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yismach Hashem b'maz, what does that Simcha mean? There's only one place where it defines it. V'racha v'samach b'libo. Which, by the way, is exactly the same Simcha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels in his world. Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'ma'asav? When his ma'asim do their own thing, says the Gemara Chulin. He doesn't have any pleasure in what he does until they start thinking for themselves. So, nosu d'shoyim ka v'choyim reba'atzvam, to go out and to create themselves as limineyem, despite the fact that God never said limineyem, that's the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed is overjoyed, exactly the same way that Aaron is overjoyed, not at what he does. He's overjoyed at what happens in the world, where the world ends up doing what it does. So this is the place that we learn what Simcha is. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, that in the same way, Kishem Shizkir HaKatuv Simcha BaKadosh Baruch Hu Achar Ma'aseh Bereshit V'hu Shamar David Yihi Chavod Hashem Le'olam Yismach Hashem B'Ma'asav, so too we have that Simcha Yir Achar Ma'aseh HaMishkan. And that's why Zeh Shem Ektoret Yismach Leiv. And in the same way that after Ma'aseh Bereshit we find that the closing moment is the creation of an Adam who is Makirat Hashem v'Oved u'Miyached, so too the closing of the Maaseh HaMishkan is the Oved u'Miyached, which is the one who brings the Shechina, and that's the Shemek Torah Yismach Lev, which of course over here is Aaron. It's perfect. Perfect. We are indeed talking about the getter of what Simcha is. And therefore, this parsha that describes Simcha, Zechira, the relationship of Zechira to Simcha, that one who is Sameach Belibo can carry Zechira, and the description of begotting that become true covet, is the perfect parsha to introduce the elements of Adar and Purim, in which Zechiras Amalek is a destruction of Amalek, Simcha of Adar is a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, as it was in those days. And the true Yikar V'Tiferet is brought out in the nature of the Begadim here, as opposed to the nature of the Begadim as worn by our friend King Achashverosh. So what we see is that there's basically two contrasting types of Simcha, two contrasting types of begadim. And there's two contrasting types of reah when it comes to ketoret as well. But if you consider the parsha here actually focuses on two types of beganim. One is a beged that is there to forget that you're naked. That's the chasot b'sar erva. So it enables you, so to speak, to look at yourself in the mirror, to pretend that you're something that you aren't. The other type of beged, it's truly the chavod l'tifaras. It expresses something about the underlying nature of what an Adam is capable of, and projection into eternity, so that he's capable of wearing the type of things and the type of gold and elements and materials and stones and that are things that are extend far beyond his life. We say a diamond is forever, and that he actually can carry off, and we call it carrying off. You've got to be able to carry it off. Otherwise, it's nezim zav ba'af chazir. There's two types of reyach. There's reyach, which is deodorant, to make you forget that you stink. And there's reyach, which is something that actually utilizes the same way that these amazing havanim and elements and colors and so on in the begonim are so much part of creation. And there's this type of thing in Reyach as well. We collect from all over the world. This is what the Ketoret is about. All types of interrelated rare substances that we're capable of putting into something that extends us into eternity and shows us that all of creation is expressive of those particular things. There's such a thing as two types of simcha as well. What most people call happiness is the marvel of a moment that allows you to forget that you're miserable. And that's basically what it's about. They're very happy because they're watching TV. They're very happy because they had an exciting time out with friends. But the truth is, there was nothing that was added. All that happened is that I didn't need, really, to experience the pain. And that was me. So that the question of such a thing to be called simcha, as opposed to the simcha which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's simcha in creation, or the simcha that Aaron has here, is meant to be contrasted as the exact opposite of that notion of simcha. If we take a look at that, we'll see how all of the elements of the parasha actually relate together in an amazing way. Because clearly, if this is the only place that the Torah defines simcha, what it means is that the nature of simcha is the joy in existence, discovering itself, actualizing itself. It's in the uniqueness of a moment of existence. It's that Aaron took greater joy in seeing something that was expressive of the marvelous potential of being than he would take in the type of things that he would do himself. And the truth is that all of us are like that, except it's so rare that we ever have the feeling of that marvelous moment. But where in fact we see somebody doing something where we don't have kina, someone who is achieving something in ways that's completely beyond our capabilities or completely beyond our interests in using our lives, I mean, we'll do anything to watch that. People want to see the Olympics. Why? To feel kina of somebody's achievement? To feel their joy in the amazing achievement? They'll travel across half the earth. They'll pay an immense amount of money. Because I want to see that. They'll stay up all night watching the Emmys. Watching the awards, right? Because, not because it could be mine, but on the contrary. I want to know, so who was Zeicher? Who does everybody see as having achieved something unique, something marvelous? Whatever it is. In best this or best that, but it's best. That's what I want to see. So when Aaron watches every human being, he's watching the Emmy Awards. There's no such possibility of kina in such a case. Because once a person can recognize the uniqueness of the instant of another human being's achievement, it is so totally not his that it's not shaykh for him to feel anything but joy. Nobody watches the Olympics and says, gosh, that could have been me. Except for the guy who was competing, obviously. And he's not happy, because he has kina.
There was a wonderful moment on television yesterday when the Israelis won the Davis Cup from the Swedes, especially with all what a moment. They absolutely went berserk. Yeah. And it was right at the last minute, a five-match thing, extended match. Right at the end, the Swede was so angry, he threw his racket, and he started knocking people as he went there. Yeah, they were up
bananas.
Yeah, and it was such a good moment because of all that led up to it.
Arabs.
Really,
Richie was saying in the car, I wish they would win for them.
Yeah, they did. And, and they all went ecstatic.
Right. The Arabs didn't riot outside.
They said the reason it wasn't scared, it was the city fathers who purposely didn't allow a kahal to come in.
Yeah.
And they said because of that, that was probably what caused it, because if they had the kahal, a home audience is always always adds to the home team's determination. But here it was the Israelis who had the determination from the You know, people said that it was a great moment.
Those are moments that you feel you feel a level of simcha that's like so beyond yourself and your normal self involvement that it's just like a moment of Eilat Hava. And this relates directly to the nature of the Keteres. Because the truth is, when we think about this, people look at these things being perhaps elements that are a bit primitive. We don't think about these things until they realize that Lamaisa, CEO, is going in to close a deal, will spend $20,000 on his suit, and will get perfume that will cost him $1,000 for half an ounce, and is exactly the same issue as the covered with the Pharisees trying to present himself as. These things are still exactly the same. But the Pella about the Reach is that the uniqueness of Reach among all the senses is that it is the only sense that we have in which we can, theoretically, I mean, if we were dogs, we could distinguish the uniqueness of every single organism that ever existed from one another. Even generic organisms, fish, can determine differences in individuals because of, and it's absolutely astounding, such a thing. Astounding. What's unique about that, why is it that indeed that is so powerful for differentiation, for the nature of Havdalah, of the uniqueness of an individual? Because it's the only sense, as the Balei Kabbalah point out, it's the only sense that was not Nifka min Gan Eden. So that all of our other senses require processing. Processing is a distancing, because remember, the essence of Gan Eden is that post-Gan Eden we live in the matrix. So that everything that happens before we were innately part of existence, in separation, we created processing. That processing means that we continue to live within our minds. So whatever information is brought to us, we have to sit around and think, what does that mean? This is true about any of the senses except one. Reach is the sense that remains sensual, the way it was in Gan Eden, that I don't need to process. As a matter of fact, it is so beyond my capability of processing that a molecule of a substance detected by my nose is sufficient to completely bring back entire moments with all of the visual elements of the moments, the sounds of the moments, the music of the moment. It's an astonishing thing. That's the power, the evocative power of Reach. But even in terms of the physiology of Reach, it's exactly the same. There is no processing in Reach. Because what Reach utilizes is the same Kayach that the immune system utilizes. A direct perception of the cell which in the immune system is now seen to be not self. So the ability to see what is else, what is other, the zikaron of other. That's what the immune system is all about. The breakdown in that system creates AIDS, creates a complete loss of individuality and uniqueness. The same thing is true of smell. An actual molecule of an object, or the interrelationship, the chemical interrelationship of the carrier of a perfume with the perfume that gives it that unique signature of a perfume, is detected by actual neurons, extensions of the brain, in the nose, so that it fits around the molecule and feels the molecule. Doesn't need to analyze what this is. It is what it is. It's not that information comes from light that carries it, now we need to figure out, so what is the light saying, and so on. I know from the actual interaction with the molecule of the other that this is the other. Once that's true, it provides a uniqueness that no other sense provides. Absolutely astonishing. Across the board of my separations. So that means that the Keteres of Aharon is something which expresses the Simcha of the Aharon. And in fact, if you take a look at the Shemen, Keteres, Yismach Lev, you see the most amazing thing. Because the nature of Shemen and the Or HaMenorah is in fact the generic creation. Vayom Elokim Yehi Or Vayi Or. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the beged of Or that was his, so to speak, says the Medrash, wrapped it around himself, and from there out came the galaxies and the planets and the beings and so on and so forth. Why? Because indeed everything is just interrelationships of energy. That's all. Dynamic interrelationships of energy. All of that is generic. But the part that's not generic is the smell. The unique instant of this particular configuration of energy and information that is that person, that I cannot ever have, I cannot ever take, I cannot ever absorb, and therefore I cannot be mekane on. I can only be happy on. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Simcha in my separations is only for its uniqueness, not for its genericness. So until it does something on its own, it doesn't give him any joy. It just is what is. The moment it's no longer generic, now we're talking. This is Yismach Hashem b'Ma'asav in exactly the same way that the Mishkan is completed with the Simcha of uniqueness. The nature of that Simcha, remarkably, continues the Rabbeinu Bachya, is clearly an extension of the Pasuk that comes before. And he actually begins with a long lecture on how to treat Geirim. What in the world Geirim have to do with this parsha? He says, yes, because the parsha before, the pasuk before this, says, Kitzipor nodedet min kina, ken ish noded bimekomo. And therefore this must be all about, what does this have to, well, he says, the same way that a tzipor, when it leaves its nest, it's like it's being ripped away from its own mekor, tchilat havayato, sibat toldato. So too, he says, the same thing is true when a person is torn out of his society and he's a ger and so on. You have to be very good to him. How does this relate to the parsha? Why is he bringing this in? Because the truth is, the entire nature of the Mishkan is the response, as we said last week, to the horror of chaos. We're finished with our Sinai. We've been ripped out of our nest. The nest, as the Rabbeinu Bachya says, a nest is not a place where you just get food from your parents, where you have a little bit of security around you in the tree. It's sibat havayato. It's your existential root. And every human being feels disconnected, hopelessly alone, a ger in a world, just as the Mishkan wanders about the world, noded mimekomo, never really having myself, never finding myself. And therefore, says the Zohar, comes along the Mishkan is meant to be a victory over chaos, and therefore it's a makom of moed, it's a place where things are meant to be, where you can get together, where you don't have all of those elements that you were terrified of, which are our Amalek. Kar, Asher Korach. As Rashi says, it means three different things. It's cold out there. Kar means Mikra. It's a completely random world out there with things happening to wipe you out at the field. Baby, it's a wild world. Things don't go wild, exactly. Things don't go well out there. Be very careful going out there, baby. Why? Because wild means that it's unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. That's the other element of careerus. And that itself leaves you feeling tuna, adulterated. What is uniquely you? How can you keep your own existence purely itself? Because that's what pure means. That's what Tyra means to anybody. Forget about the Tyra that has to do with the dinim of Tyra. Tyra means pure, unadulterated. If the United States Pharmaceutical certified something as being 99, 100% pure as the old ivory soap, it's because it's purely itself. That would say the kind of dinim of tumah v'tahara. If that's the case, our parsha, which describes simcha, which describes zecher, is essentially dealing with all of those issues. It's the essence of the antithesis of Amalek. When something is purely itself, it's no longer cold. This is no date ish b'mekoma. There is nothing that more positively relates you to the or, which is the generic you, and which is, you would say, just the random distribution of energy and matter in the universe, than smell, the unique, than simcha, in which that moment, which is yours, and the things that you're able to do, and the instant that becomes Esther's, all of those things, today's Dinah's Esther, that's exactly what we celebrate. La'et kazoti got the malchut. There's always something that is indescribably and absolutely inimitably. It cannot be copied. This person's and only this person's will never return again in all the history of the universe. And the same thing is true, of course, of every moment of our lives. These moments are either massively celebrated by ourselves as being full of moment and uniqueness. It's the moment of it that gives it the uniqueness. It's the moment that gives the other meaning of moment. It's importance, centrality. Or it's lost to us. It just falls into a pit of carry, falls into a pit of mikra. It's basically loose sperm. This is the element of carry, which is isha nodeid mi mekomo, going nowhere, achieving nothing, which was exactly what Bilam's vision of reality was, which is why his future in eternity is to be boiled and carry all the time, because this was his vision of reality. Go burn in hell in your sense of meaninglessness. There's nothing that is more painful, nothing that is more searing to the soul than the insignificance of the nature of tuma and adulteration, which you have nothing which is your own. So this parsha of simcha is the parsha of zochar, because what zochar means is moment. Zohar means there's something to remember, something that is unique and must be remembered. It's exactly part of the Ketoret. It's that which is part of the Simcha and the Leiv. And only that can in fact be the Zohar. The very act of that Zohar is the destruction of Amalek, who believes there is no moment. There is only the Mikra. There's only the randomness. There's only the accidents. There's only the emptiness and the coldness of the wild world out there. And so Aaron stands, in this sense, as the essence of the nature of simcha, zikorein, uniqueness of smell, the understanding that the or that goes into an individual is expressed ultimately in a unique smell and becomes the yismach Hashem b'masav that ends up building the Mishkan, whose essence is, in fact, ending that pain of Ish Anodeid Mimakoma. Look and contrast that to the Begodim of Ahasuerus, who was constantly attempting to be something by using the Begodim, to assert something by using the Begodim, who attempted to avoid Kina by doing Kiratzon Ish for Ish. We shall make everybody happy. The great populist who was even going to say, as Ish for Ish means, says the Gemara, well, you know, we can even put together Hamas and the Israelis, Haman and Mordechai. I mean, that's ish for ish. You can always find something that, you know, maybe economic development, the right kind of liquor, but we'll put them together. The end result, of course, is that Bikina Ashit at Mishtehem, Esther's entire strategy is Kinato Besarim, Kinato Bamelech. Achashverosh becomes the ultimate terror driven, paranoid Mekane, who if anybody gets near to him, even a bacteria like Howard Hughes, so so that he cannot be even approached by another human being, such as his terror of the wild world out there. And in this, Esther, indeed, is the tikkun of what happened to her own grandfather, who, because of his usage of beged, to protect himself, as David HaMelech told Michal, your father, always protecting himself. Of course he never showed his underwear, because he always needed to hide from the fact that he could be vulnerable. I don't care. I'm happy to be vulnerable. If it's part of my simcha, my expression of simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly where she attacked him. It was his happiest moment. And that's why it comes right there that he makes that distinction. Therefore, Mordechai says to her, Esther, either you realize that it's all about the moment, or you've killed your grandfather too, because there cannot be any tikkun for him. So at ubet avich tovedu. So that the same Shaul who became paranoid in exactly the same way, suspected everyone of constant treachery. Nobody's telling me, but constant words. The words that are classic words of paranoia. You all want to kill me. Nobody's telling me. Why isn't anybody telling me? Yet. Yeah.